Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Elder G. Bazaar, Watchman, on the wall, End Time Global Link Ministry, coming to you from Warren, Ohio. And I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia, and then I'm going to stretch on over there to Texas, where Brother Tim, amen, Jackson will be coming along with me this trip. We got him back, amen. We kind of been absentee a little bit, but we're going to get back on the line, let you know the King is coming. And that's a promise. That's an everlasting promise. That's a true promise. That's a promise that God will never break, because he never broke a promise anyway. Anything that God promised, he came through. And I know he came through for me for the last 77 years I've been on this earth. Amen. My birthday is today. I just turned 77 years old. And I thank God that he spared me this moment of history and time and Bible prophecy and the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because I actually believe with all my heart, all my mind, Jesus Christ is going to come when I'm still alive on this earth. That's how short it is. Amen. And it's real. It's authentic. And I know what the world is saying. The world is saying, y'all tell these fictitious lies. And y'all been talking about this thing so long, you know, there's like a rehearsal, but it's not a rehearsal. This is true. This is real. The word of God is true, past, present, and future. God don't change for nobody. He's the same yesterday, same today, and the same forevermore. So glad to have my brother with me, Tim Jackson, amen, out of Dallas. He's going to be coming in on me, amen. He's going to be talking with me, and we're going to be trying to explain to you the word of God. Nothing but the word of God. I ain't at no makeup list, amen. I ain't go to Hollywood to try to act this out. This is real Bible. This is B-I-B-L-E, amen. 66 books in the Bible. And every one of them real, is real. A lot of people say, well, I know the Bible. Okay, you know the Bible. How come you ain't preaching what's in the Bible? You're not preaching what's in the Bible. You're preaching a bunch of lies. You're conning folks. You're taking their money. You're telling them that God is going to make a way for you, and he already made a way. Jesus Christ is the way, and everybody's going around. Everybody's going to everything else except Jesus Christ. They're going to church, but they're getting around what Jesus is and who he is and what he can do. And I tell you one thing, if you don't believe that he can do, I know he can save your soul. That's the first priority of salvation, saving souls. That's what we're on the line for. That's what we're coming on, try to complete every Sunday at 5 o'clock, every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and every Saturday at 7 o'clock. Brother Tim Jackson's on, and I come on with him. And what we're trying to do, by the grace of God, is explain to a lot of these old false doctrines that's going around in these churches, amen, and these preachers talking about all this here rapture thing, that the church is going to go through the tribulation period, and you got to have a whole lot of money to really be happy, and you got to go motivation speeches and all kind of banqueting and all kind of celebrations, and the world is mixed up. The world done lost its mind in believing that God works without you. But I'm here to tell you, Tim is here to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ is here to tell you, he is coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And I'm going to introduce myself. I'm going to have prayer. After I get through praying, Brother Jackson's going to come on. Amen. He's going to kick it. He's going to do a kickoff. Amen. I don't know what line he's on. He's on the 40 or 30 or 20-yard line, but he's going to kick this thing off. Amen. And we're going to see if you can catch it. Amen. If you catch it, you better run with it. And what I'm talking about the word of God. A lot of people catch a lot of things, but they ain't catching the word of God. They're missing, fumbling, and messing around. And trying to call this thing off. But I'm going to tell you something. This is real. This is real, honey. This is no play. This is authentic. There is a heaven, there is a hell, and there is a Jesus Christ, God's son. The first realistic thing that we got to understand, Jesus Christ is real because he's God Almighty in the flesh. And that he died, he rose again, and he's coming back. Uh-oh, not in your backyard. He's coming back, not behind you. He's coming back to this earth to do what? To straighten it out. He's going to do a whole lot within the next few years. You're going to see a whole lot going on. But we're going to go into prayer Amen. Right now. Then I'm going to get through praying. Brother Jackson going to kick it off and see what the Father gave him to talk about, because we got a whole lot to talk about. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you right now, thanking you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. We ask you right now, use Brother Jackson, Lord, in a mighty way. Use my lips of clay. Let me hide behind the cross of Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim the true word of God. Let some of these false prophets be ashamed of how they're trying to teach people and these people. And the only way they're leading them, if they are not leading them with Jesus Christ, they lead them right straight to hell. And, Lord, we want to let you know that we're going to tell your word whether they like it or whether they don't like it. We ask you to let Amen. Your Holy Spirit move us right now. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity for giving us the power and the might to preach your word, that men, women, boys, and girls may see the great Holocaust that's coming, the great judgment of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to judge the world. And he's going to judge it by his righteousness. We ask you right now as we go into the lesson that you will use us in a mighty way, that it will convert men's souls and rebuke the liar, rebuke the whoremonger, rebuke the sins of the world, that men may turn from their wickedness and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it's everlasting too late. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, Brother Jackson, go ahead and work with.
Amen, Doctor. Amen. It is a blessing to be here. Amen. It's also a blessing to be, amen, the land of the living. Amen. Let's go ahead and say it. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. Not everyone made it. Amen. Yes. You know, my wife just shared with me some news that someone else that they knew, amen, just passed away just the other day. Amen. And it seemed like ever since this pandemic has hit, I mean, people are leaving. It's out, and I can almost guarantee you, I can remember just looking back 20 years ago, it was a rare thing that you would hear about somebody that you knew or somebody that you was close to knew pass away. But it seemed like it's not almost, I know definitely since the pandemic is here, it's been every month. But now, amen, it's almost like every other week, if not almost every week, we hear about somebody that's passing away. And I remember a time, amen, where when I was young, you know, my dad was a pastor and people in the church, you mostly hear about people who were mature in age, people who were like, you know, really up there, 80, 90 years old, sometimes in the 70s, sometimes in the 60s, but it was rare even for people in the 60s to pass away. But now it's not only just people who are mature. You're hearing about young people leaving this world in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, 50s, 60s. People are leaving this world. Amen. So we don't have time to second guess our salvation. We don't have time to play around and say, oh, I'm going to wait till I get through having my fun. You know, that's just not the case. It never has been. It never has been a thing that you should do. But I know that when I was young, that was my thinking. Amen. My dad was a pastor. My mom played the organ in the church. And I always said to myself, I'll get ready when I'm old. Amen. That was my thinking. I'll wait till I'm on up there. I got plenty of time. I want to do what I want to do and do what I got to do. And then when I'm done, amen, but God had another plan. Amen, doctor. You know like I know that ain't how it works. Amen. God is respect of no persons. You can leave this world at any time. It don't matter about your parents being in the church. It don't matter about your big mama being in the church on the missionary board, your daddy being a pastor, your mama playing the organ. It doesn't matter. Amen. We can leave this world at any time, at any age. Amen. This is why it's important that we receive salvation. We love everyone. Let's make that crystal clear that we want you to become saved. The main purpose, and we are revealing this information to you as we're supposed to. Paul always said, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Meaning that Paul always wanted the churches that he taught in to be educated and to be knowledgeable. And I tell people, if your pastor is not able to educate you, there is no excuse for anybody preaching the word to not know the book of Revelation or to at least know something about the book of Revelation. There is just no such thing that your pastor should not have no interest. If your pastor hadn't taught you anything about Revelation before then, that's a huge red flag to me, it is. Because even before this time came, amen, anytime that I pastored my church as a pastor, I talked about Revelation. I talked about the return of Christ and how it is important that, that we are preparing to get ready for the return of Christ. And this is how that the pastors and churches were not teaching the word or preparing the church for the return of Christ is because anytime I begin to talk about the thousand-year millennial reign, how we were going to come back as the church to reign with Christ a thousand years, they all gave me this look like a deer in bright headlights, like they didn't know what I was talking about. The church was not aware that Christ, that we was going to come back and reign a thousand years. I said, Lord, have mercy. The churches are failing its parishioners, but raking in tens of thousands and thousands of dollars, and in some cases, millions of dollars, while souls are being lost. Amen. This is why Christ sent the warning to John to warn the seven churches. So we won the seven churches. And according to the seven churches, only two churches was found without conviction. Amen. There was no Christ was satisfied with those two churches. The other five churches, he said, lo, I'll come quickly. He said, come. He said, change. Amen. Or you're going to lose your count. Your life's going to be put out. Amen. So it's important for us to hear the word and teach the word. And it's okay because they used to say, amen, when you know better, see, that's the old school pastor used to say, when you know better, you do better. So it's fine if you didn't know before. If you hadn't been preaching Revelation before, it's fine. But if you're listening now, it's time for you to start preaching Revelation to your church. That's why we are here to share. I don't withhold no information. I know the brother don't withhold any information. The watchman on the wall, amen, he's been preaching and teaching this longer than I have. We are here to share God's word with you, to share with your church members, your family, your parishioners, your friends, your enemies, whoever they are, whoever they may be. We want you to become saved because we are aware of what's about to hit this planet. Right now, they're talking about a bad winter. And this is one thing that I've always noticed about the weather here in Texas. See, right now, we're in October. Well, no, we are in November. This is what's a shock. We are in November, the very first week of November. We are still having weather reaching 70 to 80 degrees, which is unusual. We typically don't see that consistently. Every now and then we have a nice day after mid-October. We have some days that reach 70s, maybe 80. It happens, but it's not consistent. It's not like 3 or 4 days we have 70, 80-degree weather around this time. We typically have the opposite. We have mostly cool weather in the 40s, and then they'll get on up. But here lately, we've been consistently having some good weather, which is telling me that we might be headed for a challenging winter like last year. Now, I don't want to hear that because I don't like cold weather in particular. Amen, which is one reason why I've stayed down in the South. Amen, because I prefer more warmer weather. I just can't – I'm not like the brother, amen, Elder Bazaar. He can handle that cold weather up there. Amen. I don't know what I can – man, I don't know what I would do amen, dealing with cold weather gets in the low teens and in the negative. Man, I wouldn't know how to act. Amen. But nonetheless, amen, what I want to share with you real quick before I turn over to the brother is, amen, is the preparation. Amen. So as the saints, amen, you do need to prepare, amen, for both the return of Christ and this season that we're going through. Okay? Now, we know that prayer changes things, and prayer is the number one thing. We need to be praying. Praying for those that are lost, praying for those, the brothers and sisters in Christ, and praying for those that have a lack of. This is not a season for you to get extra money from the government and to be buying expensive clothes and purses and bags and jewelry and all this stuff like people are doing. I work for the bank, and I'll tell you, it shocks me with some of the things I see people doing with their money. And I'm like, Lord, have mercy. See, let me tell you something about grace. We are still under grace administration. And though Lucifer wants to make it bad, the Holy Spirit said, no, you got to do something to help those, amen, to make it through the season.
Amen.
So the reason that you're getting stimulus checks is because God, amen, has put it on man's heart. See, even though they may work for Satan, see, God is still in control. The Holy Spirit is still in control. Amen. So no matter what Satan wants to do, amen, don't you forget that he may be Satan, but God is still his God. Amen. That'll never change because God is the God of all.
Right.
And he created, that's why the Bible said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that our Lord and Savior, amen, Yahshuah, amen, sits on the throne and he is God all by himself. And every being must still obey God. If God say to do it, I don't care how evil it may be, amen. The Bible said that the demons tremble, Lord have mercy, at his name. And they must obey God. If God said, no, you know what? Amen. You're going to steal. This is grace. Amen. Send, give them money. Give them the opportunity. See, it's up to you what you do with it. He giving you money. You should be stocking back. Buy you some water. Buy you some groceries. Because until the trumpets blow, for when the tribulation hits, we won't be here. Amen. All glory be to the Most High God. We will be out of here. But while we're in this season, you're getting extra money. If you get extra bonus money, if you got extra money, go ahead and buy you some water, buy you some food for this winter season, because we don't know what's going to happen. Amen. We know it got pretty rough here in Texas. Amen. I know that in the metro, it's shut down. People couldn't go nowhere. So get prepared. Don't be spending this money out here on foolishness and stuff. Now, unless you got some real good money put back, you making a fool do that. But if you live in paycheck, I'm going to tell you right now, you probably want to start buying you some groceries, amen? Because I know that there's been in the news that China's government is actually telling their people, buy in bulk.
Come on.
Get stacked up. See, warning comes before what? Destruction. So
yes,
don't
sir.
Ignore it. Amen. Go ahead and get taken
amen.
Care of until the trumpets are gone. No, the God's going to always take care of his people. Amen. But at the same time, we have to use what? Spiritual wisdom. Hey, God
amen.
Gives us wisdom and say, hey, I'm giving you the money. Amen. $250, fire. Some people get $700 for their kids. Hey, go put some groceries in the house for them children. Amen. So we
thank
want
you,
to
Jesus.
Let the church know to get prepared. Now, don't go out here buying no guns and bullets and stuff. If you're a believer, you need to leave that stuff alone. Go get you some money. If you got some guns and bullets, they out. My brother told me, you can't find no guns and bullets nowhere. I said, well, you don't need that mess no way if you believe in God. And so go sell your guns and bullets and get you some food. Go get you some water. Go get you some alcohol, some peroxide, some stuff that you may need. Amen. For this season. Amen. Because what we need to prepare for, the Bible says to watch. And people out here preaching that we are going to go through the tribulation. I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't know where they're getting that from, that the church is going to go through the tribulation. See, here's the thing. Because let's just, and I'm going to get ready to turn back over to the brother real quick. Amen. So let's entertain this thought that the church might go through the tribulation. Let's entertain that. I don't believe that. I know the doctor don't believe that. but we're going to entertain this thought. Christ said to watch, for I shall what? Come as a thief in the night. Now, if we know that Christ is coming back at the end of the seven-year period, does that sound like a thief coming? See, if a thief comes in the night, you have no clue. You have no thought that he's coming. Your mind is not even on someone coming to steal from you. But if you know he's coming, then that's not a thief. See, we know that Christ is coming back at the end of the seven-year period. That's not a thief. That's why Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not what? All sleep, but we shall all be
all right.
Changed and a twinkling of an eye. In other words, Paul said, faster than you can blink and faster than you can think, we will be changed and we will be in heaven with Christ. Now, does it make sense that the same time that Christ is going to come back to the earth, that it don't say that he's going to stay in heaven, he's going to be up there in the air, he's going to call us up. The Bible says he's going to come back with the saints. That's kind of conflicting scripture, that we're going to be raised up with him immediately and come right back down to the earth. See, that just don't make any sense to me. See, what makes more sense to me spiritually and according to the word and according to what Paul wrote and according to what I showed you over in Thessalonians, amen, I'm going to go there in a minute, is that we will be caught up before the tribulation. Okay? So let's go ahead and show you some scripture. I don't like to talk without showing you some scripture. First, we're going to go to 2 Peter. Let's go there. Because I got to show these folks that believe that we're going to go through the rapture, because that's a conflict in scripture. Because first of all, God said, I won't put no more on you than you can what? Bear. I'm going to tell you right now. When I took this class many years ago towards the beginning of the early 2000s when I was in seminary school, I took this class on eschatology. And when they said, they talked about how there's going to be starvation during the tribulation. You're not going to be able to buy no stuff. You're not going to have enough money. This is what the teacher said. The instructor said, the money that you make is going to be consumed for your eating. You're going to barely have enough to feed yourself. The first thing that came to my mind was my wife and kids. I said, Lord, how am I going to be able to feed my wife? Now, remember, this was just a preload of the teaching. We hadn't really got into the thick of it. So, in other words, the first thing that came to my mind is, how am I going to be able to feed my family? Well, you won't be able to. Now, if you're not able to feed your family, you're going to be tempted to do something. So let's read the scripture says, 2 Peter, 2nd chapter, verse 9. It says that the Lord knoweth how to what? Deliver the godly out of temptations. Who is the godly? The saints, the children of God. If God knows how to deliver us out of temptations, what are temptations? Don't you know that a nice, fine, sexy woman, if you're a man and you into women, a sexy woman is tempting. That's a temptation. Temptation
causes
to what? Sin. And so when you're tempted, you have to have, God gives you a way to what? Be delivered from temptation. Amen. So that's just using that as an example. So if you are starving and you don't have enough money to feed your family, I think most men are going to do, because hey, you're going to feed your children. You may be tempted to what? Rob and steal, or even maybe hurt someone, not kill them, but hurt someone just to what? Feed your family. Now, what sense does it make that God will put the saints through that temptation? See, I'm talking about just me. I'm talking, that's the first thing that came to my mind when we were being taught this with men. How am I going to be able to feed my family? You're going to be tempted to steal. Now, we don't want to steal. I'm not a type of person that steals. Amen. Like my Amen. Now, I've worked hard for what I worked since I was a teenager. And I'm still working. Right. I'm almost 50 and I'm still working. So that's how I pay for things. I go to work. Amen. So I don't want to be tempted. But God's not going to put no more on Tim than Tim can bear. That Tim's going to be tempted to go out and rob and steal, or maybe even possibly hurt someone. Because, you know, you stealing, people get guns, people do anything to stop you from stealing. You may have to hurt somebody, not necessarily, but you may hurt somebody. So God's not going to put that on me. Amen. He's not going to put that temptation on me to try to feed my family. This is why we know the church won't be here. People talk about going to buy guns and buy bullets. See, I don't need that. See, We won't be here for that. But watch what he said. He says, and to reserve the unjust. Who is the unjust? The unbelievers. The people who have rejected Christ. The people that have said, there is no God. I will not serve God. I'm going to live my life and have fun and do what I want to do. The Bible said he has reserved the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, if you see the separation of scripture there, it said that he has what? Delivered the godly from temptations, but reserved the ungodly to be punished and to be judged.
Come on.
Revelation is about, number one, the brother did a great job explaining the 70 weeks, the last 7 years for the seed of Israel to minister to the world.
Come on, preacher.
And the day of the Lord, that's what I want to talk about. The day of the Lord is what? It's the day of judgments and punishments, the seven-year tribulation, especially the last 3.5 years where God is going to take it. The wrath of God is going to hit this planet to judge those that have rebelled against God. All the people who are whoremongers, murderers, killers, thieves, people who have sex traffic, organ harvested, rape, molested, stole, baby sacrifice. All these folks are doing all this evil stuff. The Canaanites, the spirit of Canaanite. Do you know what the spirit of Canaanite is?
Come on.
It's a person. Amen. It's a person. It's an unjust, ungodly person. That goes all the way back to the time of Nimrod. Because remember, we talked about this. Nimrod's father. Amen. Was the beginner. Amen. He actually started, that type of worship that they call the papal worship. That's where they get it from.
Yes, sir.
It's an ancient occult satanic religion that was started by Nimrod's father, and then he passed it down to his son, and his son Nimrod took it to a whole nother level. And still today, the Babylonian religion, still exists.
Come on.
And the Babylonian economic system, which Revelation talks about, still exists to this day. And that is the evil spirit of Canaanite. Amen.
Ooh.
That is who the seven-year tribulation is reserved for. It is not reserved for the saints. I just showed you over 2 Peter. Now, does that scripture line up with the saints are going to go through the tribulation? I believe not. Does the scripture, God won't put no more on you than you can bear, does that line up with God's going to allow the saints to go through the tribulation? They don't see you, like the brother said, you can't take part of the Bible. You have to take all of the Bible. So how you going to make the Bible contradict itself by saying, oh, yeah, we're going to go. Now, think about this. Daniel said it. Let's go there. Brother, I got a little time. I'm all right.
Go ahead. Break it down.
We're going to go over real quick to Daniel. So I got to show you this. So I want you to understand why am I going this long route to show you this. Because you got to understand the Bible. The Bible is consistent. The Bible is like a river. I've never seen a river going north and south at the same time and clashing in the middle. It always flows in one direction. Just how the Bible is. The Bible flows in one direction. It's consistent. It's not contradictive. Okay? If there's some contradiction, that means that the person needs to check their teaching. So over in the book of Daniel, let me get there real quick.
Amen.
The 12th chapter. Brother, if you got it, if you don't mind, there it is, Daniel.
All right. 12th
chapter. I may need you.
Got it.
Yes, sir. And what I'm looking for, amen, is when Daniel said that there shall be no time like it on the face of the planet. I think it's Daniel, the first chapter. Yeah, there it is.
12.
Amen.
Yeah, Daniel.
Go ahead and read verse 1 for me, doctor, if you will.
Amen. Got it right here. It says this.
Yeah, that's it.
At that time shall Michael mm-hmm. stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall mm-hmm. be a time of trouble, such
yes.
as never was since there was a nation, even to mm-hmm. that time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one shall be found written in the book. And many of
Amen.
Them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting
Amen.
Contempt.
Amen. That's it, Doc. Amen.
That what will be wise shall shine in the brightness of the firmament, and they shall turn many to righteous as the stars from heaven. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words, seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased.
Amen. Right there, Doctor. Amen. Right there. Amen. And so you can see that there will be no time like in Christ. Said the same thing over in Matthew, the 24th chapter. Amen. I forget to turn over to you, Doctor. Amen. But I want to share this with you, that
go ahead.
It's going to be a horrible time on this planet. What sense does it make that if I serve God, live for God, and this time is reserved for judgments and punishments? Well, he ain't judging the saints right now. He definitely ain't punishing the saints. What sense does it make for him to judge us and punish us after Christ has died for our sins? See, that's a contradiction of the scripture. Christ has died for my sins, and you mean to tell me he going to throw me in a hot pot with sinners? And we got to go through the truth?
No.
That makes absolutely no sense. That makes no sense. Amen.
No.
Amen. I'm going to come back. I'm going to turn back on you. I'm going to come back, and I'll talk about it some more, but I want to give you some. Go ahead, Doctor.
Amen. God bless you, brother. God bless you. We're stressing on this because the devil himself knows exactly what's going to happen. In fact, the devil know more than the average saint does about the Bible.
Come on.
He knows
that's right.
Through Holy Ghost, if they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He know he is doomed. He know he is done. He knows that he ain't got no but a short time. He knows that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He knows that Jesus Christ died and rose. You see, don't fool yourself. He ain't stupid. The devil, he got some stupid ways, but he ain't stupid about the word of God. And so what the Bible says, Apostle Paul said, he said, watch out for these false apostles, because these false apostles have been transformed into false apostles, trying to preach the word, but it's not the word. It's damnable doctrines that they have made up and construed the scriptures and making
Amen.
People believe it's going to be an easy ride. But I tell anybody, if you're going to be a Christian, you can't be a chicken. Amen. If you're going to be a Christian, you cannot be a chicken. Amen. To be a Christian, you got to be real. You can't even stand in the present and evil days that we're living in, because this is the last day. Why do you think we own this here air? Why do you think we own this internet? To get prestige? To make money? To do what? No! We ain't on there to make money. We ain't over there to make a name for ourselves. We ain't on here because we ain't got nothing else to do. We're on here because God sent us on here. God put us on here. And
Amen.
I would be afraid if I would continue to tell you exactly what the Bible says. And the Bible says exactly what is going to happen in the last days. A lot of people say, like the brother said, that the church is going through the rapture. I want to ask you a question now. Did Enoch go through the flood? No.
Amen.
Enoch was raptured up. You know why? Because God was given a dry run of what it would be like when the church is raptured. So Enoch was a typical rapture of the church in the Old Testament before the flood. Enoch was raptured. That's what the flood came. All right. When the flood came, God told Noah to build an ark. Did Noah escape the judgment of God? Well,
Amen.
You better read your Bible. What happened? He told him to build a boat. What? Why? Because he knew that the world was going to be flooded by water. Only Noah knew it. But Noah told the population of the earth that it was going to be a flood. They said, man, you fool, you. What you talking about, a flood? A flood for what? But the wickedness of the world. God is going to destroy the wickedness of the world. He's going to wipe. He's going to wipe the earth clean and drown every non-believer that liveth up on earth. But I see Noah, a man of faith, believed God, moved with fear, and built a boat, a big boat, a boat for the whole animals on, and a boat for the whole people on, if those that want to come. How did he escape the flood? How did he escape? He got inside the boat, and the water lifted the boat up above judgment. Uh-oh, look at here. Where was Noah? Inside the boat. He wasn't hanging on handlebars. He didn't have the bars hanging on. He was inside the boat. That was a dry run of the rapture. Come on now. Man, preach your Bible. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God sent two angels down into Sodom and Gomorrah and told Lot, you better get out the city. You got to run for your life. But guess what? Before the judgment was brought up on Sodom and Gomorrah, God sent two messengers. Listen to what I'm saying. He sent two messengers to Lot's house and told Lot, get out of here. Early in the morning, I'm going to come out and I'm going to grab your family. And you tell your family, you tell your two daughters, and you tell them when they run, come look back. If you look back, you're going to turn to a pillar of salt. What did God do for Lot? By the prayers of Abraham. Abraham prayed for his nephew. He prayed that the Lord will help him to escape Sodom and Gomorrah, because he said, Lord, if you find what? 5 in the city. If you find 10 in the city. If you find 50 in the city. The Lord said, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he searched the streets all night long before what? He brought judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And guess how many he found? He found righteous people that escaped because Lot's wife had a desire to be back out there in the world. And she had a desire to be back. There's a lot of fake Christians. There's a lot of people call themselves children of God. They did not escape. They're not going to escape the judgment of God. The only way they can escape, they must accept what Jesus Christ said. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get deliverance but by the Father. And since Jesus Christ is the Father, he said you can't get to the Father unless you come by his Son. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the very God. So let me tell you something. God will deliver the church before the tribulation period. He will not let the righteous suffer with the wickedness of the world, because the blood of Jesus Christ delivers you from sin, death, hell, and the grave. So whoever preaching that stuff, whoever is lining up with that and believe that stuff, you better get away from it, because it's a lie. Amen. It's a lie. It's a lie. The word of God does not preach that the church will go through the rapture. It will escape
tribulation,
the wrath of God, because God's going to rapture the church. And guess what? The tribulation period is another thing preachers don't understand. And the laymen don't understand. They don't understand that the tribulation period was designed and orchestrated by God himself for the Jewish nation. Only for the Jews that the tribulation will occur. If it wasn't for the Jews, there would be no tribulation. Oh, where you get that, preacher? How you know that? I know that by going to Holy Ghost University, and my teacher is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus Christ tells me, I know is right. Come on now. Look at here. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. The Jews are God's chosen people. The Jews did not finish their ministry. The Jews were dealt with by God for 483 years written in the book of Daniel of the 70th week. The 70th week equals 490 years. God dealt with the Jews from 440 B.C. all the way down to 34 A.D. And guess what? It came short of 7 years. He only dealt with them 483 years. And God told Abraham, he told Isaac, he told Jacob, he told Ezekiel, he told Habakkuk, he told Nahum that I'm going to deal with you for 490 years. And God only dealt with the Jews for 483 years. And he cut them off at the cross. The reason he cut them off at the cross, because the Jews reject the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the authentic Messiah that died and rose again from the grave. And by that, the Lord said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut you off short of 7 years. And guess what?
Amen.
The 7 years have never been fulfilled. And God keeps his promise with the people of Israel. He said, I'm going to deal with you. And since he haven't dealt with them, he said, now I'm going to go to the Gentiles and I'm going to bring my church to the Gentiles. I'm going to cut off the Jewish people and I'm going to engraft the Gentiles. Well, the Gentile church now is consisting more of Gentiles than Jews. And God has been dealing with the church for 2,000 years. 2,000 years the gospel has been preached down to the ages. It preaches all the way down from 500 A.D. to 1,000 A.D. to 1,500 A.D. to 2,000 A.D. And now the church is still here. And the church is what? The church has fell away from the faith. But the Bible says that day shall not come except there be a great falling away. And the falling away is that the church is today is not preaching Jesus Christ. They're not preaching the cross. They're not preaching holiness. They're not preaching love. They're not preaching joy. They're not preaching Jesus Christ is coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And the millennial kingdom has to do with restoring the Jewish people. And now the Jews are in the land. And you know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for the Messiah. But tell me, before Jesus Christ comes back to the earth, a false Messiah will come. And this false Messiah is called the Antichrist. The anti-God, anti-holiness, anti-righteousness. Don't love nothing about the righteousness of God. It's going to be a man that come on the scene, and he's alive today, right now. He's walking on the face of this earth, and he's waiting for the proper time, and he can't do nothing. Oh, y'all don't listen to me. Listen to what I'm trying to say. He can't do nothing until the body of Christ is removed. What you talking about? Antichrist cannot come. You hear what I said? The Antichrist cannot come until the body of Christ removed from the planet. So the Jews
come
back in and fulfill the 7 years that God owed what? The Jewish people. Go to Matthew. Go to Mark, Luke, and John. And Jesus, the disciples asked Jesus, woo, listen to this. Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times seven? And the Lord said, no, He said, forgive your brother 70 times 70. And
amen.
If you will multiply 70 times 70, you get 490. Oh, God, what you talking about? And God said, I'm going to forgive Israel, and it's going to take 490 years. And since it takes 490 years, God Almighty owes the Jews 7 years of judgment that's going to be brought up on the Jewish nation. And thank God for the judgment that's going to be brought up on the Jewish people, because that will be an opening. That will be a door line for the Gentile nation to hear the gospel from the Jewish nation, because the Jews have never preached the gospel as a nation to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. How are you going to do that? Well, if you read the seventh chapter of Revelation, it says this, I saw an angel stand on the four corners of the earth, and I saw them sealed with seven seals. And one of the seals, I saw them sealed 144,000. What are these 144,000? These 144,000 are Jewish men that will preach the gospel in the first part. Uh-oh. Now, the church can't be here, and the Jewish people be here, because
amen.
It's going to be a different gospel. It's going to be a gospel of grace now. It's the gospel of grace, because this is the church is preaching. The church is preaching the gospel of grace, and grace is the undeserved merit of the love of God. God has given through the church grace of 2,000 years to get it right. Preachers get it right. Deacons get it right. Sisters get it right. Young folks get it right. There ain't no excuses for nobody. People walking around here have crazy in sin. denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he don't give you enough grace to recognize that he died on Calvary's cross, that he got up from the grave on the third day morning, and that he's coming back again to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. And now the Jews are going to have an opportunity to preach 3.5 years, 1,260 days, 42 months. That equals 3.5 years. They're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And what are they going to preach, preacher? They're going to preach that Jesus Christ is the Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And they tell me the 3.5 years, they're going to preach it in January, February, March, April, May, June,
Amen.
July, August, September, October, November. They're going to do that for 3.5 years consistently. A back-breaking revival John looked over the rough side of the mountain, and he said, look, here what I see. I see a number that no man can number. How did he, and who are they? Where did they come from? Because, you know, if the church is missing, amen, if the church is raptured up, I see another number that no man can number. And he said, don't you know who these are? He said, no, I don't know who they are. Where did they come from? He said, these are they that came out of great trials and tribulation. These are the ones that heard the gospel during the time of the first part of the tribulation period. And they heard the Jewish people preach it. The God Almighty, woo! They preached that Jesus Christ died and rose again. And many of the Gentile nations received Jesus Christ. And a lot of people talking about the church is going to go through the rapture. Well, the church age will be over at the rapture. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. That's what you talk about when you know your Bible. Because God is not going to break his promise with the Jews. He owes them 7 years, and he's going to give the Jews the authority to preach the gospel as a nation to reveal to the world that these are my chosen people. These are the people I used to bring the Messiah into the world. These are the people that when he came to his own. So Jesus Christ was a Jew. Oh, my God. Somebody say, is he black? Is he white? Is he yellow? Is he green? Is he pretty? He was a Jew. He came from his own people, and his own people rejected him. And they reject him for over a period of 2,600 years. But during the tribulation period, they're going to turn the world upside down. And you talking about a revival? You talk about a revival, it's going to be worldwide, worldwide. The church is going to be in heaven looking down. Uh-oh.
Amen.
I think the church will be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know where these preachers get all this year.
Come on, doctor.
And all this old crazy bit. I'm going to be in heaven. I don't know what heaven you're going to be going in. I don't know what tribulation you're going to be going. But if you go through the tribulation and don't know Christ going through the tribulation, you better put your faith to work. And you better believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, because during
that's
the tribulation period, there's going to be a whole lot of killing going on. There's going to be a whole lot of head. The guillotine is coming to the United States, my friends. Don't let nobody fool you. It ain't going to be a picnic like it is now. Oh, people having picnics now. They're having a jolly time. Oh, church folks are saying, well, we going to get by this. We going to go through the tribulation period. But I tell you something. If you go through the tribulation period, you better prepare yourself now. You better get
Amen.
Right with God. And the preacher that's preaching that we're going through the tribulation, buddy, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for $1 million. I wouldn't
Come
want
on,
to be in your
doctor.
Shoes at all. You know why? Because you're preaching a condemned doctrine that's not in the Bible. God is not going to let his body suffer judgment when judgment's already taken place at the cross. My sins have already been chosen. And
Amen. And
accepting his blood, guess what? My sins are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and my judgment is already taken care of. If I go, when I get caught in the rapture, I'm not going to be judged. I'm going to be judged for my works. Oh, listen to what I'm saying.
That's right. Come on now.
I'm going to be judged for my works. What I've done on earth through Jesus Christ, while I was here on earth, I'm not going to judgment to be condemned, because my condemnation, amen, is already being taken care of, because I suffer. I believe that Christ died for me. So what I'm saying, the church will be absent. during the tribulation period. We will be in heaven with Jesus
Amen.
Christ getting our rewards for the works that we have done down here. Now, listen to this.
Yes.
If you're not saved and you're working in the church and you're doing all these good things and you're not saved, guess what? You're lost. All
That's
your
right.
works don't count. In order for your works to count at the judgment seat of Christ, you must be born again. You got to be saved. And your works will be revealed in heaven when you get to heaven by the rapture of the church through the blood of Jesus Christ. You will get your reward. And your reward
That's right.
will be 5 crowns. It's 5 crowns to be given to the saints of God. So when I go to heaven through the rapture, I'm going to get my rewards. And those that are left here without Christ will have to face the Antichrist, and they will face the 144,000 Jews that's going to preach the world upside down. You talking about, you? Oh, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to see
Come on, Doctor.
What God is ready to do. Because what he's getting ready to do, he's getting ready to shut up a whole lot of these lying preachers and lying mouths that's been trying to push God's word into prosperity plan and being prosperous. Let me tell you, I'm already prosperous, and I may not have nothing but a dime in my pocket. Woo!
Amen.
I'm not materialistic, and trying to have fun without Christ, because if I ain't having no fun, amen, it ain't going to be without Christ. If I'm going to have fun, it's going to be with Jesus Christ. And my fun is to see people come to My fun and my joy is to see people come to Christ and repent of their sins so they won't have to go through this great tribulation. And this great tribulation is not going to be no picnic. And it's already
Amen.
In the making. I don't know if you understand what's going on. I'm going to give it over to the brother in about 5 minutes. I don't know if people don't understand what's going on. What's going on January the 4th. And a lot of big business, it's going to be mandatory that you receive a COVID shot. Anybody that's
right.
employed with over 100 people, it's going to be mandatory for that you receive a shot. A lot of people are not going to receive this shot.
Come on, Doc.
And a lot of people lose their job. But when you lose your job, you're going to lose the production of truck drivers, mailmen, nurses. All the people who refuse to receive this shot will lose their job, lose employment, and they will have to go on some kind of plan to survive under this new mandate. Now, this is orchestrated by the Illuminatis. Uh-oh,
yes.
My God. Open up your eyes. Luciferians. The devil says, if I can get people and force people to take this shot, most of them ain't going to take it. They're going to quit the job. If they quit the job, production won't be able to deliver the bread, deliver a production, deliver a grocery. And guess what? It won't get to the grocery store. If it don't get to the grocery store in time, it spoils. And if it spoils,
right.
it's going to make a shortage of the food. But let me tell you, there's a food shortage coming because of this corona. Virus that President Biden said is mandated, and guess what? He ain't got no children. He ain't got no family. He ain't got no big man. He's under the government. The government take care of him. What about people who lose their job and want to take the shot? If you don't want to take the shot, let the man work. But the mandated now. And America is going to pay for it. The government is going to pay for it. Church folks are going to pay for it. And I don't have
That's
nothing
right.
against people getting the corona. I don't have nothing against you getting it, but I'm not going to get it. I don't want
Amen.
It. I don't need it. God is my provider. God is my protection. God is my hope. Not some man-made shot that's put in my body, and my body won't be able to take it, and I get sick anyway because people are still getting sick, getting shot. They got an A, B, they got an A shot, a B shot, and C shot, and it still ain't doing no good. The only thing that you got to understand, faith is what can bring you through. Faith.
That's right.
Believe and trust in God that he will take care of you. if you living right. If you ain't living right, it ain't gonna work. You got to be living.
Amen.
Right. You got to. You can't be half stepping. You can't be out there dithering around and think God gonna take care of you. God only take care of those that want to be taken care of. And if you don't want God to take care of you, God said, "I'll hands off. I ain't gonna bother you. I ain't gonna press this salvation up on you. I ain't gonna make you get saved." And you got to willingly come and say, "Lord, I am a lowdown, cutthroat sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Didn't my mother conceive me? Lord, I don't have no other hope but you. Lord, I'm going to put my trust in you. Lord, I'm going to depend upon you." And can you get to that place in your life? The Lord cannot protect you. He cannot give you what you need, not what you want. So what I'm saying, I'm saying the 70th week is a promise to the Jewish people, only to the Jewish people, that I'm going to give you the last 7 years to do what you should have done in the Old Testament and the New. But you didn't do it. What you did, you started the church with 120 people. And then 13 years later, you rejected the crucifixion of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you did that to the Jewish people, he's saying, you did, I cut you off. And I cut you off 483 years. So I owe you 7 years. And guess what? The whole world. You hear what I say? The whole world is going to hear the gospel at one time. And they're going to hear it for 7 years, coming not from the church, but from the Jewish people, from the Jewish of ancient days, the Jews that came up out of the land of Egypt, those people that came in the land of Canaan, thrown with milk and honey, those people have went through almost 5,000 years of persecution and denial. And God said, now it's time for me to show the nations and the heathen nations that you are my chosen people. And so what? Amen. We're living in the modern technology age. We're living under the Instagram. We're living under the YouTube. We're living under watching TV set. We're living under the internet. And let me tell you, the gospel will be preached. We got 600 satellites are circling the earth right now. And guess what? When 144,000 come, amen, they're going to beam that up to those 600 satellites and then beam it back down to earth. And people going to be able to look at it on their iPad. They're going to be able to have their telephone. They're going to be able to see it on widescreen. And it's coming out of Jerusalem, because that's where the gospel was initiated, in Jerusalem. Jerusalem will be the focal point of the 144,000. It will be the focal point of the two witnesses that's going to preach in the last part of the tribulation period. So, my friends, whoever out there preaching that false doctrine that the church is going to go through the tribulation, you better back up. I mean, you better back up. And get God's word right, because, buddy, your hands, your blood is going to be on your hands for telling them lies that you've been telling those folks. Got them all happy and tell them you won't go through the tribulation period. And let me tell you, I'll tell you one thing. If you're telling them that, man, you condemn yourself, because the tribulation period is not going to be a pit. It's going to be hell on earth. It's going to be the devil in full control. About 95% of the world will be under his control for a period of 7 years. And, buddy, it's going to be hell on earth. And if anybody's left here after the rapture of the church, you ain't going to be walking down the street saying, baby. You're going to be running. You're going to be hollering. You're going to be, because some of your loved ones are going to be gone. The ones that you didn't think were going to go, they're going to be gone. And the ones that said they was going, they're going to be still left here. And, buddy, ain't no gun going to save you. Ain't no money going to save you. And if you don't believe it's coming, look at the condition of our food production now. The food is getting short. The water is getting short. The weather is God is in control, but the weather is mystified. People talking about global warming control. They're gonna try to stop. You ain't gonna stop from God heating up this earth, because it's gonna heat up. It's gonna heat up. Weather's gonna come. Storms are gonna come. Volcanoes gonna break loose. Earthquakes. Folks will be running down the street, pulling their hair out their head. Oh, the end of the world, the end of the world. It ain't the end yet. It ain't the end until Jesus Christ split the sky. And before he split the sky, it's going to take 7 years of judgment up on the nations of the world. Because the world has rebelled. You hear what I said? The devil has caused the humanity to rebel against God on this earth, just like he rebelled in heaven and took one-third of his angels. He brings that mess down here and gets in the Garden of Eden, and he's got the whole human race rebelling against God. And guess what?
Right.
Anybody that rebels against God is losing. You're losing. Why would you want to lose to something that ain't worth serving? And people are willing to serve the devil. People are serving the devil. Church folks are serving the devil instead of the true God. Because if you ain't real, guess what? You're going to be left here. And all the singing, all the crying is not going to deliver you. The only thing that can deliver you is Jesus Christ. And that ain't all. I'm going to give it over to the brother. But I want to put this insert in there. When the devils and the demons and demonic spirits be set loose on this earth, ninth chapter of Revelation, when the scorpions come up out of the earth,
come on,
and Nephilim come up out of Tartarus, which are so, they're so bad that God can't let them loose. But when he let them loose, it's going to tear the world upside down. It's going to call men to want to die. They're going to want to die in kingdom. Men are going to be walking around dead, but yet alive. Men are going to be trying to shoot themselves and jump off of buildings and do all kind of wickedness stuff. Why? Because God has set loose the demons and the devils that men are worshiping today. If you love the devil, guess what? If you love the devil, you serving the devil, I mean serving him, and you love all this crookedness and murdering and killing going on and baby worshiping and baby sacrifice, guess what? God said, all right, I'm going to give him to you. And that's what's going to happen. God's going to give the population of the earth that here's what you want to serve. There he is. And guess what? It's going to be awesome. It's going to make Fright Night look like Disneyland. It's going to make people scream at the top of their voice, even when the rapture comes. Planes will be crashing. Hospitals, nurses will be missing. The mailman won't get the mail delivered. The grocery won't get delivered. The banks will close down. Men will actually collapse. Money will become worthless. Men will be betraying each other. Mama and daddy will be against each other. In-laws and outlaws and underlaws will be treacherous against each other. The whole house family will turn against each other. Why? Because the devil is their master. Now, why in the world God would let his body go through any more hell than the church has already went through? 2,000 years of hell, the church have plowed through the adversity to win souls to Christ. And then you preaching that God's going to keep the church here. You're a lying wonder and you're a double lying wonder. Stop it. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke it. Teach what Jesus taught. He said, if you believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you. He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And if I go away, he said, I will come again. And where I am, you're going to be. Well, where are you going to be? I'm going to be in the cloud. He didn't say be on earth. He said, I'm going to be in the cloud. Now, how are you getting up here talking about you are teaching that the church is going, all right, your church is. But the church that I belong to, the church I was going to, it ain't going to be here. So this is what me and brother is trying to tell you. Prepare yourself now. Receive Christ in your life now. And you won't have to worry about what somebody else said and camouflage you to believe a lie. Now is the time to receive Jesus Christ. Not tomorrow.
That's right.
Not 5 years from now, but now. The Bible says if you believe, accept with your heart. Huh? Confess with your mouth. What? Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the power of God. And if you believe that, accept that, receive that, guess what? He said, thou shalt be saved. S-A-V-E-D. Amen. Not saved. S-A-V-E-D means that you are sealed with the Spirit until the day of redemption. Don't be left here at the rapture, please. And, oh, yeah, don't go to hell. Don't die.
Amen.
Don't die before, because if you die before you get saved, you're going to hell, period. The Bible says
right.
You're going to hell. If the Bible says you're going to hell without receiving Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. God ain't no lie. God ain't got no picks. God ain't going to speak nobody in heaven. No.
Amen.
I don't care who you are. You can be pretty as a lily pad. You can be Marilyn Monroe. You can be all the celebrities in Hollywood. You can be all the handsome football players. You can be, I don't care how good you are in your trade. I don't care. You can be educated until your brains swell. But if you haven't been born again, you're going to take all that education to hell with you. And you're going to see how smart you are. Because the dumbest person in the world, the most stupid person in the world, is a person that believes, number one, that there's no God. Number two, that Jesus Christ didn't die and rose again. Number three, that he's not coming back. You're the stupidest person in the world, because all that you disbelieve is true in the Word of God. Don't miss it. You need to come to Christ. You need to quit listening to garbage. And some of the stuff on YouTube ain't worth listening to, because they come in with everything but the Word of God. Brother Tim, walk with it.
Amen, doctor. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Amen. The King is coming.
Amen.
The
Amen.
King is coming. Amen. And if you are not ready, amen, Lord, have mercy on your soul. Amen. The only way that you're going to escape the great tribulation, amen. And by the way, tribulation is 7 years. Amen. I'm hearing folks already talking about the tribulation is not going to be 7 years. Amen. These are obviously people who don't read or study the Bible. It just amazes me how people are actually, and they just go to show you that people who are following that nonsense, they don't read and study. They just show that they all lazy. They don't study and read the Bible. I don't know where they're getting these false doctrines from. I mean, but if you do the study and the research, the tribulation is an official 7 years. Amen. Do the math. Amen. It's already been proven. Amen. The great tribulation is not 70 years. It's not 7 months. It's not anything shorter than 7 years. It's not anything over 7 years. It's not 700 years or 70 years.
Come on now.
Seven years. Amen. And so, amen. It's just a mystery to me how people come up with this stuff. Amen. But I want to talk about the day of the Lord. Amen. That's what mainly we're talking about here. We're talking about the return of Christ. Amen. We're talking about the King is coming. We're talking about the time of the end. Amen. We're talking about the time that the church should be ready. We are in the Laodicean church. Amen. And
yes,
amen.
God,
I feel
brother.
Like, yes, sir. I feel like this is the most wealthiest church that the church age. This is the wealthiest part of the church age is right now. This is the wealthiest
right.
That the planet has been. There's been more millionaires created in the last 20-something years. There's been more billionaires created in the last 30 years. We are the wealthiest time to be on this planet right now. And in fact, the earth hasn't been this populated. This is how we know that we're getting close to the end. Because the Bible says, as so as it was in the time of the days of Noah, so shall it be when the return of the Son of Man shall come. During the time of Noah, the Bible said that there was a world. Now, you think about that interpretation when it said, the word said, the scripture said world. The interpretation, population of the earth was totally populated. See, some people believe the earth was just populated, you know, in the region of Africa and in the Middle East and in Asia Minor, but no, in the Mediterranean. The entire planet was populated just like it is today, heavily populated. For one, man lived more than a point in time of 120 years. Man lived for hundreds of years, in fact. Methuselah, the oldest recorded living being,
yeah,
which was 969 years. So you think about a person that was, and then if you read the book of Enoch, it describes how there was no law, was lawlessness everywhere. It was so lawless that man themselves began to curse God in heaven. And now you know that was bad. If you had the nerve to curse the Creator, now that's wicked. That's evil. That's almost like cursing your parents. Your parents bless you to be here. God bless your parents to bless you to give you life. And you don't turn around and curse your mama and daddy. Oh, that's evil. That is so wicked. And that's what man was doing. They was cursing towards God. God had blessed man to live hundreds of years. They had multiple children. There was no restriction on who you could be with. Now, there was supposed, it was originally just meant for man to be with woman. Amen. One woman. But man began to take all the wives that they wanted. The fallen angels came down and slept with who all they wanted. They were sleeping with animals.
Yeah.
Men were sleeping with animals. Men were doing beastials. They were doing it got so wicked that the angels were looking down and the angels had to go back to God and say, God, don't you see them down here cutting up and doing all this evil and sinning before you and before heaven? And God said, you know what? Amen. I'm going to have to do something about that. Amen.
Yeah.
They kept going back to God and said, God, look at them. They are cutting up. The angels have caused the women to show women stuff in heaven and things that man is not supposed to know. Amen. So God said, you know what? I'm going to cause a flood to come on the earth.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
The brother gave you an example of how God always, you see, warning always comes before what? Destruction.
Yes.
And you don't think that the worstest time, the greatest destruction that's come to this planet, the 7-year tribulation, you think God ain't warning the saints right now? What do you think we
come
do?
On now. Quick,
we are warning. Christ issued a warning through John for the past 2,000 years that this time would come. And we are on the doorstep of this happening.
We are
warning you. The only way that you're going to escape the tribulation is not with your guns and bullets, not with any bunkers, because when the earthquake shakes, it's going to either crush your bunker or you're going to fall deep into the earth. Amen.
Yeah.
You're not going to escape. In fact, there are 7 thunders that John was not told he was not permitted to write about. He was not permitted to utter or to share.
Yes, sir.
So there's going to be some things going to hit this planet so unimaginable. In fact, if you read the book of Enoch, the angels in the book of Enoch, they talk about the monstrous beings that were on the earth, not just giants. It says monsters. It says it in the book of Enoch, monstrous beings, because the fallen angels slept with beasts of the earth and caused some type of seed to come forth that was not man, that was not human. Man, Lord have mercy. And so as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. That means that there's going to be some things creeping and crawling this earth that you can't even comprehend. You're going to be like, what in the world is that?
Come
on. You think that the DNA, you think that when these scientists, they dig in the earth, and they talking about how they're able to take the DNA. I remember back in the 90s, they were talking about they found the DNA of a dinosaur egg and how they were going to take some of the DNA to try to reproduce the dinosaur. Now, why in the world would you want to do that? All these creatures, and they hide more than just dinosaurs from, trust me, that's why the government, anytime the Smithsonian find out that people have found giant skeleton bones, they hurry up and confiscate this stuff. They hurry up and take it away from the public so the public can't see it. Well, see, this stuff is reserved until a specific time that these things are going to be back on the earth. They're able to clone a sheep, and they're claiming that they can clone a man. What makes you think they can't clone a dinosaur or some monstrous being that lived thousands of years ago? If they found their skeletons and their bodies encased in ice or encased in the earth. You think these militaries and stuff don't have this knowledge and technology hidden? We are talking about the time of the end. See, the day of the Lord is not reserved for the righteous. We won't go through the great tribulation. Now, if you sit up preaching that stuff, amen, like we said, you're right. You will be here. You'll be here. I won't be here. We won't be here. We'll be in heaven. Amen, doctor. And somebody had the nerve to say, oh, well, that's going to really test who's with God. That ain't got nothing to do with testing who's with God. We've already proved that our allegiance with God when we have confessed with our mouth and believed in our heart.
We have
professed our allegiance and our alliance with God. That's all God. See, God is simple. See, people want to complicate God and make things all. Now folks want to turn themselves into God and try to judge if people are going to be saved. Now, you can't prepare for the tribulation. Talking about you got to be prepared. Prepared for what? You going to be? Tell me how you going to prepare for starvation. Of all the people on this planet that have died from starvation, how are they able to prepare for it if they ain't got no food? You can't prepare for something that's not there. You can't prepare for them demonic spirits that's going to come upon the earth and that's going to sting men for 5 months. 5 months and men going to seek death and can't die. How you going to prepare for that? See, that's how you got folks out here that are just preaching these false doctrines because they ain't saved. They ain't got the Spirit of God living them in them nowhere. Talking about you got to prepare. I wish you would go buy a bunch of guns and bullets and prepare for something that's spiritual that's going to come on this earth. What you going to shoot at? Absolutely nothing. You can't prepare for this tribulation. If the earth opens up, you ain't going to have enough food, enough water, enough bullets. How you going to escape that? You can't.
Good Lord.
There's nothing that's going to prepare you for what's about to hit this planet. That's why God is going to take his people out of the earth, the church out of the earth, because you can't prepare for God's wrath. You can't prepare for the punishment that's going to hit this earth. You can't prepare for the demonic spirits that's going to hit this earth, the things that's going to, you cannot prepare for this horrific nightmare that's going to hit this earth.
Have mercy. Have mercy.
Amen. When the death spirit was to come through Egypt and take the firstborn of Egypt, God sent Moses to tell the children of Israel to warn them how to prepare. God always prepares a way for his children. Amen. He prepares Noah. Amen.
Thank
he prepared
you.
Enoch. Amen.
Thank you.
He's going to he's preparing the church. This is your Exodus. See, people think, oh, we're going to go back over to Africa. We're going to go back to the Middle East. No, we're going to heaven. That's our Exodus.
All right.
That's our deliverance. And you better be ready. You better make sure it's your soul is ready. You better make sure you've confessed with your mouth and you definitely have believed in your heart that God has raised Christ from the dead so that you shall receive salvation. That is the only way that you can prepare for what's coming. As Daniel said, and there shall be a time of
trouble as never was
since there was a nation, even to that same time. In other words, he's saying that ever since, what Daniel's saying is, before I even was born, there was never a time like it all the way up until that time. That means until the church is raptured out of here, until the God gathers together the saints. Even the saints in the earth shall be raised from the dead. Their bodies shall be raised from this earth. That's how bad it's going to get. Because why? The graves won't be disturbed. Because why? It won't matter if the graves are disturbed because of what's going to happen on this planet. Their bodies won't even be here. The souls and the bodies, the new bodies, amen, the glorified bodies will be in heaven.
Amen.
Everything that's on this earth, amen, and below is going to be shaken.
Shaken.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
It says, and at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Amen. That's going to be the chosen seed that's going to be on the earth preaching. Amen.
Yeah.
They're going to be delivered. Yeah. Amen. But the church, we won't be here. We will be out of here.
No.
Amen. Amen. Let's go over. Amen, doctor. Amen. I want to go over to the book of Job. Again, I want to touch on this day of the Lord a little bit more. I'm going to turn back over to the brother. The day of the Lord, amen, Joel, the first chapter, verse 15. This is what the scripture reads. It says, alas for the day. You see that exclamation point? Alas for the day. For the day of the Lord is at hand. And as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. from the sovereign almighty God, the all-powerful God. Does that sound like something that the book of Joel is saying, that this is going to be something that's going to come upon the saints of God? No.
Oh, come on, God.
He's writing that God, amen, the destruction that's going to come from the almighty God is going to be taken out. God's wrath is going to be taken out on the unjust and the ungodly. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about the children of God that's going to be on the earth, that's going to be here. Amen. Now watch what Joel, the second chapter, verse 1 says. It says, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm. In my holy mountain, let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand.
Woo!
A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and strong, and there not been ever the like. Neither shall be any more like it, even to the years of many generations. So it's saying which means that after that it's going to be what? After the tribulation, it's going to be what? Many generations. We're going to come back and reign for 1,000 years. It will not be like that ever again. But that 7-year period is going to be something. Lord, have mercy.
Yes, Lord, have mercy.
The locusts, the earth shall quake, the demon locusts. Amen. We're talking about judgments.
Tell it.
Of God is going to hit this planet. I want to share something else with you real quick. I want to go with you, Revelation. I believe it's Revelation, the 8th chapter. I was reading this. I want to show you something. So I'm trying to show you all that the church won't be. I'm just trying to understand. And what's so funny about it is that it always talks about how this is going to be for the wicked. This is going to be for the unjust. Amen. So, Revelation, the 18th chapter. Amen. And I want to go to, I'm going to start at verse 4, Revelation, the 18th chapter. I'm so sorry. Revelation, the 18th chapter, verse 4. Amen. It says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. Amen. Now, when it says her people, so people think that this is the church. This is not the church that he's talking about. This is referring to those that the 144,000 is going to be preaching to. Remember, the 144,000 is still. And this is going to be the people who's going to receive salvation. Now, remember, back in Revelation, the 6th chapter, those who were beheaded. Well, those are the people who got delivered from the 144,000 preaching.
Yeah.
There are going to be people during the great tribulation that's going to be delivered. That's not the church. If nobody's going to be delivered, what is going to be the purpose of the 144,000 preachers? What is going to be the purpose of the saints of Israel, the seed of Israel, to minister that 7 years? The whole purpose is to also deliver people. They're going to be tribulational saints. They're going to be people who be saved in the great tribulation. This is what it's referred to. And it says, and that ye receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her work. So you see how God has separated his people and said that the judgment is not for you. Come out, amen, so that you won't receive more. Again, one and always come before what? Destruction.
Come on.
You may receive not of her plague. God always going to give you a warning. See, even in the tribulation, he's going to warn the saints in the tribulation.
Yes, he is.
Come out.
Yes, he is.
You go into the hillside. Get out of the city.
Right.
What did he tell Lot? And the brother even said this. He said that Lot, warning came. God said, I got to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. They doing too much. men with men and women with women. See, folks try to justify this because they got family and friends and family members who are gay and living LGBTQ. Man, let me tell you something. I don't care what nobody say, that is wrong. You can try, the governments can kind of try to justify. And in fact, they didn't become strong until the government began to justify. Before that, you even had people who were like that said that they shouldn't be married. I remember that. It was a gay gentleman that said that, no, I don't agree that gay people should get married. He was gay himself. The government, the evil satanic government, has given them justification. Now they're pushing it. Man, let me tell you something. God gave Lot and his family an opportunity and said, if you can find any more righteous, amen, all the way down to the number of five, if you can find somebody justified, he would spare. See, that's the mercy of God. And if you think that God has mercy on Lot and his family and any small number, that before I destroy this city, but I'm giving you the opportunity to get, you don't think that the destruction and the judgments come there, that God ain't giving the saints the opportunity to get out? How do you come think on. You're going to escape? You're going to escape because of the mystery that Paul talked about, the gathering together of the saints. That is the mystery of the church. The church shall be gathered together before the great tribulation. As the brother said, The Antichrist cannot come on the scene. The tribulation cannot begin until the saints are out of the earth, out of the city.
Come on.
Amen. Just come like on. Lot and his family, they was out of the city. You see, you know how cities are so large? You know, like if you drive outside the metro, you have to drive miles before you see the city limit. The city limit is always at the very edge, is miles outside. If you drive, Elk Grove is a smaller town, a city of 200,000-300,000 people. When you get to the edge of the city, it said this is the city limits. Well, man, I was outside. Now you're just now leaving the city. See, Lot and his family were well out of the way before a fire brimstone began to rain down from heaven. See, that's how merciful God is. I'm going to read these last few scriptures. You're going to turn back over to the brother. Amen.
Okay, brother.
And talk. I want to share this with you. And let me go and read these scriptures. It says, for her sins have reached them to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. That sounds like Sodom and Gomorrah. It says, reward her even as she rewarded you. In other words, the evil in the past thousands of years that the evil satanic Babylonian system has done to the saints of God and to the righteous, amen, it's going to be double unto them. In the cup which Lord, she hath filled, fill her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her, for she ain't. She said in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That's how the world is. Amen. That's how these guys are just wicked. They don't think nothing's going to happen to them. They got so much pride. It says, now watch this.
Yeah.
Therefore shall her plague come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Man, let me tell you right now. Amen. I got some more scriptures I'd like to read. Amen. I mean, I get to them today. I may say them for next week. But I want to share these scriptures. I got some more, but I want to share these scriptures with you to let you know, amen, that the church won't be here for the great tribulation. And it just amazes me that the people who would get up under these people who preach that and teach that. And it's like you can tell that these folks have done no study and research because that doesn't even line up with scripture to say that God allow his people. He didn't allow Lot and them to be in the city while there was fire raining down. Lot and them was clear of the city. Noah was on the ark. If you read the scripture, Noah and his family was on the ark and had closed the door, and the rain began to fall. Lord have mercy.
Now.
Lord have mercy. Before the death angel came down into Egypt, all of Egypt, amen, they had put the blood on the doors.
Come on now.
All of Egypt. The scripture said all of Egypt. I mean, all of Israel. I'm sorry. All of Israel left. Amen. All of Israel. Yeah. Even some people from Egypt left with them. But all of Israel was delivered. all of them. So you think that God ain't going to deliver the saints, all of the saints? I'm talking about the ones that truly believe God. No, I ain't talking about the folks that are playing. We talking about the saints
come
that
on,
believe
now.
God.
Yep.
Amen. Amen. All the saints have been delivered, commandments. We love God. We're walking in the Spirit. We're holding the Spirit of God, holding on to the Spirit of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We're doing His Word. Our works are according to the Word. We will be delivered out of here. The saints will be gone before
Hallelujah.
The Antichrist come on the scene, before the tribulation starts. Doctor,
yeah.
Go ahead. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Doctor. Go ahead.
God bless you. I got something for you, and I got something for those that want some more of this. Isn't it this? Revelation 3:10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience.
That's my favorite.
I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation.
Come on
which
now.
Which shall come upon all the world to
That's
try
right.
them that dwell upon. When God keeps somebody, He keeps them from it. He takes it out of
That's
it.
That's right.
He's going to take the church from the world because there's going to be a great temptation. What is that temptation? That temptation will be so great that men would have to make a split decision on what they're going to do. And that is, the Antichrist will demand that every human being receive a mark on their forehead or on their right hand. If they don't receive it, they will be killed by the guillotine.
That's right.
If they receive the mark, that means that they have sold their soul to the devil and they are under the influence of the devil eternally. In other words, their soul will be damned when they receive the mark of the beast. Because when you receive the mark of the beast, you are flatly denying the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. God himself was resurrected from the grave for our justification. And you have sold your soul for the materialistic things of the world and the right to buy and sell. So your soul will be literally damned in the latter part of the 3.5 years. Now, God is not going to let the church even touch that. This
That's
is
right.
for the unbelievers that have not accepted Jesus Christ. They will have a split decision on who are they going to serve. And majority, now listen to this. Majority of the world is lost.
Amen.
Revelation 13:3 says, and all the world wandered after the beast, just like Hollywood has celebrities that people are worshiping. They're worshiping every little Hollywood idol that they can think of. If he's a movie star, if he's a dancer, if he's got gold around his neck, and if he's got there with no clothes on, checking up behind, they worship that. They honor that.
That's right.
And they're going to do the same thing to the Antichrist. They're going to be so amazed and so dizzle-dazzled that they will say, man, if I don't receive the mark, I'm going to be beheaded for belief. I ain't going to believe in no Jesus Christ. No, man. I ain't giving no Jesus Christ. No, man. I want the party. I want the groovy movie. I want to chill. I want to drink. I want to lie. I ain't giving that up. And so
what
happens is we believe that this man is Jesus Christ. They are going to receive the mark on their forehead or on the back of their hand. This is the greatest deception that will ever hit this earth. This is a lie from the very bottom pits of hell. Because the devil is called to come in a great delusion. And God said, because you won't receive the love of the truth, I'm going to cause you to go into a delusion. And a delusion means that you are going to believe a lie because you don't believe in the truth. And majority of the world is living under a lie curse. And the curse is that Satan says, I'm going to do a duplicate resurrection just like Jesus. And the world is going to be so dumbfounded and so stunned that they don't realize that Jesus Christ has already done died, already got up from the grave, sitting on the right side of the Father, and they don't realize that by faith you are saved, not by works. And folks are going to be deceived down to the last drop because the devil is the most slickest person on the planet. Demons and cohorts and scorpions are going to take over this planet. They're going to rule this planet for 7 years, yet still God and his mercy is going to give the last generation an opportunity. Good God Almighty. Don't you know what I'm talking about? He's going to give the last opportunity for people to accept his son.
Yes.
And majority of people will say they hell, and I'm going to tell you just like they talk about it, they hell with Jesus Christ. And that's what they're saying. That's what the world is saying today. They hell with Jesus Christ. I don't need that clown. I don't need somebody to be walking around healing the sick and raising the dead, casting out devils. I don't need that crown. Mm-hmm. I don't need somebody to pray for me. I don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. And so you are blaspheming. The only way that man can be saved is by the blood of Jesus Christ. And here you are blaspheming the blood of Jesus Christ. And when you blaspheme the blood of Jesus Christ and you don't repent of your sins, I guarantee you, you're going to light hell up. You're going to light hell up. And I'm saying this out of love. I'm saying this not out of anger. I'm saying this out of love and mercy. You are going to burn in hell when you reject the only way that God could bring man back to God. And that's the only way God can save man is through his son, Jesus Christ. And the world is saying, the hell with that. I'm man, shoot, I'm going to get my women. Man, I'm going to get my desire, and man, I'm gonna do it all night long, and all night long, I'm going to drink till I look like a fish. I'm gonna, if anybody bother me, I'm gonna shoot them. I'm gonna kill them. Murderers and drug addicts and homosexuals and liars and unbelievers and church are swimming in the mess. They act like they got something, but they ain't got nothing. Woo! They ain't got nothing. They wishy washy. They half stepping. They stepping on this side of the fence and on that side of the fence. And what the Bible says, hey, you ain't either hot or cold, you're lukewarm, I'm going to throw you up out of my mouth. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That ain't me. Jesus said, I'm knocking at the door. And you won't open the door of your heart and let me come in. Because you saying, man, I don't want that clown in here. I don't want him in here. I don't want him to touch me. I don't want the Holy Ghost. I don't want the love of God, man. I want to love who I want to love. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. The greatest thing that God gave, the greatest gift that God gave was his son. If Jesus Christ wouldn't have died, and if Jesus Christ wouldn't have got up out the grave, Brother Bazaar was to go down to the steel factory, go down there and get a couple of matches and jump in the lake of molten lava, molten metal. There would be no hope for me if Jesus Christ wouldn't have died and came from the grave. And guess what? There's no hope for you until you come to Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, because there's no sin worth going to hell over. None. Not one.
Amen.
And the greatest sin that a man can commit that could put him smack down in hell, and that is unbelief. If he rejects Jesus Christ and die without Christ now, die in your sin, die in your whoremonger, die in your drinking, die in your drug, die in your hatred, die in your racial prejudice, die in everything that the devil has to offer. You die without Jesus Christ in your life and don't come to him and repent of your sin. I'm going to tell you right now, Brother Bazaar is telling you the absolute truth. You're going to live in hell for eternity. You're going to burn for eternity. You're not going to disintegrate. You're going to burn after a million, quadrillion, million years. And you burn and burn and you gnashing and gashing the teeth. You're going to be crying out to everybody, but nobody ain't going to be in heaven. You're going to live with the devil forever. Just you want to live for him here on this earth. You want to act like you Mr. Big. You want to act like you Mr. Pimp. You want to act like you got it all wrapped up. But I'll tell you one thing. If you die without Christ and the love of God in your heart, hell will be your home. And there is no exit. And you will be crying. And you will remember two crazy preachers that was on the air telling us all about this garbage. You're going to remember it. And you're going to say, oh, my God, them guys was right. Them guys were dead right. Them guys wasn't preaching for money. They were preaching for my soul. They were trying to tell me something. If you die and miss this opportunity tonight, if you die tonight in your sleep, and I don't care how young you are, you still can die. I don't care how old you are, you still can die. But it's the grace of God. He woke you up this morning and started you on your way. Although you're going the wrong way, he started you on your way. The only way you can start off the morning with is say, Lord, save my soul. Save my soul. Just save it. I believe what you've done for me. You've done to save my soul from hell. And guess what? If you want to witness, read Matthew 16:18. Read Luke, where the rich man was a witness from hell. This ain't no true story. This is a real authentic event that happened with Jesus Christ while he was here on earth.
Amen.
And he told that. Actually, that's a story of the rich man and the poor man. That ain't no story. That ain't come out of no Harry Potter book. That didn't come out of no Tom, Dick, and Harry book. This come out the word of God. And that rich man lifted up his eyes in hell. And he was so concerned about his brothers more than he was concerned about the heat that was going on in hell. And he said, Tell Lazarus. Now, either Jesus, I don't know what people think. Jesus wasn't no joker. Jesus Christ was Son of God. Jesus Christ was very God in the flesh. And Jesus don't go out telling jokes and crackpots and jesting with the word of God. He was Son of God. Amen. He was perfect. I don't know what people think Jesus is. Because he's more than you think he is. He's God Almighty in the flesh. And when he came to this earth, he come to do one thing. If he didn't do nothing else, he come to die for the sins of the world. Now, he done died for your sins. Now, what's your problem that you can't come to him? What's your hold up? What's your hold up? What's your friends telling you? Man, don't believe them old garbage preachers, man. They preach stuff that scare me. Well, if the gospel don't stir your mind up, it ain't the gospel. If you want an orientation, or if you want a pick up lecture, you come to the wrong place. Because I'm not going to give you none. I'm going to give you the real word of God.
That's
the
right.
The real word of God is when old Lazarus told him, Lazarus was willing enough to go down, but Abraham said, no, you can't do nothing about that. Lazarus had that kind of heart to go down. And I believe in his heart that he had wanted the opportunity to go down and give him a little water, but he couldn't do that, no. See, when you get to hell, there ain't going to be nothing. Ain't nobody going to be able to help you. We can help
you. Right.
We can tell you the love of Jesus is nothing like it. Ain't nothing like it. And we can tell you that, man, if you miss Jesus Christ, You're the biggest fool. I don't care how much education you got. I don't care your color, your skin. I don't care your ethnic background. I don't care how much education you got. I don't care about that. What I want to say, you got a soul that's going to live forever. What do you want to spend eternity? Eternity. Forever. Well, I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ because he died for me. Why? Because I accepted him. Why? Because I love him. Why? Because I love him more than anything in the world. And why? Because I want to preach his word. Why? Because I want to tell somebody else that, man, there's a way you can escape the damnations of hell. And the world is saying, man, I don't want that mess. Shoot, look at my gold ring. Look at my three-piece suit. Look at my suit. Man, I'm as a boy to hell. Look at the women I got. Look at the money I got. Look at all this I got. What do I need Jesus for? Yeah. You may not need Jesus now. But if you get there, you're going to cry out like never before.
Mm.
You ain't going to need no microphone in hell to hear your voice. Because the Bible says, and if you don't believe in the Bible, shame on you. Because the Bible is right. And it's right all the way through. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him shall not what? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, what's your choice? Brother Bazard ain't playing. God ain't playing. Brother Tim ain't playing.
Amen.
And if I would have to go on a one-on-one on the man that's going around talking about the church is going through, I'd like to meet him face-to-face. I sure would. And I wouldn't be scared to tell him, man, you just as dead as a dead. Because that's not in the word of God.
That's right.
God loved me so much, he's not going to let me go through no more than he have to let me go. And one thing he's not going to let me go through is the tribulation period. Because it's not for me. It's for these people. Thank God for the Jew. And I'm going to close for three more minutes. I'm going to give it over to Brother Carl. He can close up. If he run out of time, okay. If he don't, he can give it back to me. But there's one thing that whoever listened to me out there, listen to Brother Tim out there, we are doing this for the glory of God.
Amen.
When I go to bed tonight, I can sleep like a baby.
Amen. Come on, doctor.
Oh, come on. I can sleep like a baby. I can wake up in the morning and say, thank you, Jesus. I don't know who's listening to me out there. I don't know who listened to Brother Tim. But somebody out there is listening. And if you're listening, take not my word, but take God's word.
Amen.
And God don't lie.
Right.
And he loved me that much to die for me when he didn't have to. But he's such a loving God that he gave his son not for me only, but for every soul that's on this planet.
That's
right. And the planet is balling up their fists. The politicians, the preachers are balling up their fists. The lay members are balling up their fists. They have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power of God in their life.
Come on.
And if you don't have the power of God in your life through Jesus Christ, you are a sinner on your way to hell. But let me tell you one thing. As we get ready to close, we've got about 10 minutes. This is serious business. This is one of the most difficult jobs is to preach the gospel to
come
people,
on, doctor.
To convince you. I got to convince you. And the spirit and the word of God and what I say, if that don't convince you and don't put fear in you and don't put reverence in you about who God is, holiness, righteousness, and you spit at it, you trample it under the ground, you got that. Those self-righteous attitude, you got that self salvation, where you want to plan your own salvation to get to heaven, God have mercy on your soul. You can't do that. You can't do that. And like I say this, I'm going to give it to the brother. Don't, please, don't go to hell. Don't go. I done told you once before, Timbuktu, I'll go there. I'll find me an alligator pit and try to step over the alligator, keep them from snapping my leg off. I'll go there. I'll go to a snake pit. I'll go there, man, shoot. A bite ain't nothing going to compare to fire forever. And that's what's going to happen to a lot of souls. And a lot of people are going to hell, guess what, through the church.
Amen.
A lot of people going to hell through the church because they didn't go to the cross. They missed the cross. They ignored the cross. And Paul said, but watch out now. Watch out. He said, Paul said, watch out for those who do a whole lot of weeping and crying and act like they got salvation. He said, but really they are enemies of the cross.
Amen.
They don't have nothing to do with the cross, but yet still they claim Jesus, but they don't like that cross. But that cross shows them how wretched. The cross shows me how wretched I used to be. Woo! The righteousness of God shed his blood for my filthiness and gave me an opportunity to accept him. And I accepted it, and I'm so glad I did. I don't regret 1 minute.
Amen.
When he called me out of the darkness into the marvelous light. Because I know my soul right now is on the way to see Jesus Christ. I'm on my way. The King is coming. Brother Tim.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Open up that altar.
Yes, sir.
Open up that
altar.
Somebody come on. Come on in.
Yes, sir. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. For this show. For this opportunity, amen. We thank Derek Oliver and his team, amen, for what they're doing. We thank for this platform. We pray that we continue to share the word, amen, until we can share it no more, amen, until he come back to get our souls, amen. We thank the Most High God for his son. We thank you for the ultimate sacrifice for our Lord and Savior, amen. We thank you for Yahshua, amen. We thank him for Yahweh. We thank him for the Holy Spirit, amen. We just come blessing and praising his holy name, amen. Now, if you want to, amen, be delivered, amen, you don't want nothing to do with the things that's going to hit this planet. I don't want to be here, man. Look at here.
No.
Amen. Stop listening to these false doctrines and folks talking about we're going to be here. Amen. I'm like the brother, amen. I would like to sit here and have a discussion with these folks that's going around and giving out these false doctrines. I just got one for them, amen. I just got one for them. I know they can't answer it. Amen.
Okay.
Amen. 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 So my one question is simply this. How do you prepare for the great tribulation? Amen. You can prepare for a field trip. Amen. You can prepare for church. You can prepare for dinner. You can prepare for lunch. Amen. You can prepare for vacation. But how do you prepare for the great tribulation? You can't. Amen. That's because it was not intended for the saints, for the church, the saints, church age, saints to go through the tribulation. That's why
that's
Paul
right.
said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not what? All sleep, but we shall be all
asleep.
Changed in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, we will not be here, amen, to go through the great tribulation. Amen. You can't prepare for that. You can't prepare for starvation. You can't prepare for nuclear bombs. They ain't got them bombs for nothing. Amen. You can't prepare for what type of military power they got. Amen. You can't prepare for the mark of the beast when they sit there and say. Now, when I say you can't prepare, we're talking about us. Amen, because our heart and our mindset, amen, we are with God, amen. And I'm not saying that you can't reject the mark of the beast when it comes because we know that you can't. You can simply make a choice. Amen. Like the Lord said, if you're gonna sell your soul out, you're going to sell out and sell your soul, or you're going to be beheaded. Amen. And I already know what Amen. Choice I would make if I have to make that choice. Amen. But there's too many things that you're going to have to go through in that 7 years, and God's not going to allow his body. Amen. And think about it like this. Amen. Amen. Would a man allow his wife to go through something treacherous if he had the power to deliver her? Certainly not.
Come on.
He wouldn't allow his wife to go through something so evil and treacherous. Well, what makes you think Christ is going to allow his body to go through
right
the great
now.
Tribulation? He's going to
right
deliver
now.
The church. Amen.
Yeah.
The church is going to be caught up and gathered together, raptured up out of here. And then we're going to go and receive our reward. That's why there's a 7-year period, amen, that we're going to also receive our rewards in heaven. We're going to be, it's going to be like a graduation ceremony for us. We have graduated. And you know, when you graduate, you what? You elevate. Amen. You out of school. That's it. You done. We're going to be elevated out of here. Amen. We're going to receive our rewards. Come on now, Dr. Will. Come on. We're going to receive our crowns. Man, you're going to get a crown just for loving the appearance of Christ. We know we're going to love his appearance. We're going to be like, look at that. Look at the king. The king has, has come. Amen.
Come.
The king has come to get the church. And we're going to be forever with him. And we're going to be reigning with him. We're going to be in heaven. Amen. So
heaven.
If you want to escape this, remember Romans the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, you read it, confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10, it's just that simple. See, God makes things simple. God was simple. All he told Adam to do is subdue the earth. Adam just ruled the earth. All Adam had to do, amen. Adam went on his knees, amen. He said, Adam, now worship me every second of the day. Adam's worship was his obedience. See, that's when we get confused.
Yeah, right.
Amen. So them angels, that's a choice they make because he is so good that they continuously praise him day and night. That's a choice. God ain't making them do that. Amen. God ain't making us do
Amen.
This. We do it because we love him, because we love you. We study, we research. We didn't get nothing for it. We do it because we love you. Amen, man. I'll be honest and truthful with you. It'd be nice if I received a salary and didn't have to go to work on Monday morning or tomorrow. It'd be nice if I had to get up at 5 a.m. and be ready for the bank. It'd be nice.
No,
amen. But you know, hey, I got to get up and go to work. I got to hit it. Amen.
Yeah,
but we do this because of love, and that's what God is. He is love. He's unconditional love. I love you. The brother loves you unconditionally, and this is why we do it. We do it because we love you. Amen. But if you want to escape
amen.
It, amen. Remember this. Remember this. Amen. Romans the 8th chapter. I'm going to turn back over to the book before we shut it down. Romans the 8th chapter. Verse 31, amen. Still much time got left. Woo, almost out of here. And I'm just going to read one verse. We ain't got that much time. I'm going to read one verse. Amen. Romans the 8th chapter, verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Amen. Just know that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And he's not going to allow you to go through the tribulation. He's going to call you home. Amen. So we can be there with him because he's not going to allow nothing to separate us from him. Brother, go ahead and shut it down. But I enjoyed this service and I enjoyed this word. The day of the Lord is coming. Amen.
Hey,
go ahead.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Brother Tim. God bless you.
Amen.
I got about 30 seconds.
God bless you. Okay.
Don't forget. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead for the remission of your sin. But without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday at 9:00. Come on back. We got a whole lot of more to talk about. May the Lord bless
Amen.
You. Go call. Tell them you're hearing the word of God. In Jesus' name I pray. God bless you.
Amen.